Welcome to the Sooners Extra Podcast, powered by the Oklahoman. I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here with Abby Bitterman. The Sooners Extra Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. Well, Abby, let's start with a quick recap of what we saw last week with Oklahoma's win over Iowa State. Really, I think probably need to start with the atmosphere of that game. And Lincoln Riley brought it up on Monday when we asked him about the energy in the stadium. It was a little bit different there. People clamor for night games, but in the fourth quarter, that place wasn't really juiced up.
No, people were streaming out of that place. And I mean, like, I get it's late, but, you know, you can't just get all over social media and everywhere and beg for a night game and then you get one. And, I mean, and like Lincoln Riley said, the players feel it when the place is hopping. And can they tell when it's not? Yep. And it was the look on his face when he said that they could tell when it wasn't hopping, it was...
Yeah, there was definitely a message being sent there.
Yes.
It's our job as coaches and players that we got to play to our level no matter what. I mean, that is certainly our job, and I would never put that on our fans or anybody else's fans or any atmosphere or any stadium. Now, the flip side of that, like I've said up here many times, we have one of the great stadiums in America. We have one of the great fan bases in America. And when it's rocking in there, does our team feel that? Hell yeah, they do. And when it's not, do they feel that? Hell yeah, they do. Yep.
So, and I think it's another example, and I think, you know, we have to tell ourselves this fairly regularly, that social media is not real life all the time.
And
there's value in it. Obviously, we love it when you know we interact with readers and listeners on social media outlets, especially, you know, Twitter and Facebook. But also, there's a segment of fans who maybe aren't as pumped up and juiced for a 7 o'clock kick as you know it may seem because of social media.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I know. I have some friends who work at restaurants and stuff on Campus Corner, and they say, you know, that economically it's great for business, but I think that still, so, like, a lot of people in the stands at OU games get tired.
yes, they do, and there are quite a few of them getting tired on Saturday.
I got tired.
Well, so did I, especially after writing a story. You know, we won't go into the mechanics of how that story
got written. Complicated.
It was complicated. Let's see. I'm working on one hand still. But, you know, had a story pretty much written and then control A, delete as the fourth quarter happens. And you've got to write a completely different story and have it ready to go about 10 minutes after the game ended.
I will say I didn't really get tired until the post-game pod. In game, I was rolling, but ooh, post game pod.
Yeah, it was.
Can't wait to do it again this weekend.
Woohoo! although I'll tell you the difference, Abby. This week we can do it in the car as we drive back.
We can do it in
the car,
so
we don't have to just hang out at the stadium. So, this will be weird for me because I'm usually the guy who drives most of the time.
Do I get to drive?
I don't know. We'll see.
Is Barry going to want to drive at midnight?
My guess is you'll probably be able to drive.
That's what I thought. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I promise not to speed.
We'll hold you to that, Abby, for sure. We did get a chance to talk to Parnell Motley. We'll get into – you didn't get
did
a chance
not.
To talk to Parnell
there.
Motley on Monday night. We'll get to why, because it's interesting, and that'll pretty much be what our second segment is about today. But the rest of us, Abby, got a chance to talk to Parnell Motley, and you know, he's always interesting, but you know, especially about the 2-point conversion, it was interesting because we didn't get to hear from him after Saturday's game. I think let's just talk a little bit about what he had to say. I think obviously right out of the gate came the question about the 2-point conversion play, and he's just said, you know, I'm thinking in my mind before the play, man, we didn't want to be in this position, but this is what it comes down to. So I just got myself together and thought, man, this is all you got right here. You've got to give it your all right here. Bowed up and told myself, you have to be physical. You won't have a chance if you aren't physical. If you just let them run routes on air, then you might not have a chance. So I told myself, let's bow up and be physical. I was physical. He said, I kind of lost my leverage a little bit, but that disrupted the time of the route somehow. It did. You know, he said he got a step on me. He said he had to play the eyes on the ball. You know, I just thought it's really interesting because, you know, physicality was such a part that was lacking for the Sooners for a big stretch of that game. And Alex Grinch even talked about this, especially the first couple drives of the second half. He said, you know, we flat out got out physical, but when it came down to it, and you can say that he should have been flagged or whatever, but when he came down to it, Parnell Motley made the play with physicality and was just enough to help the Sooners eke out a win.
That was quite the like pre-play pep talk he gave himself.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
And the other thing is Parnell Motley used man a lot yesterday.
Well, man, like sometimes, I don't know.
And I say that as somebody who says man a lot.
Yeah. Did he, wow, I'm really going to show that I wasn't there, but did anyone ask him about the interception he dropped earlier in the game?
Yes. And I will read that for you because, yeah, Parnell Motley had an interception chance early in the game. Oh, you
a
had
much
a couple
more
of
obvious
them.
Interception chance. Than
yeah.
Still, like the again, I think I said it in the post game pod, but I've seen the replay and like the physics of how he intercepted. Like, I just don't like he like rolled into that.
Yeah, it's
interception.
Crazy that he came out with that interception and had the awareness to hold on to the ball.
He didn't. He didn't need to, but
yeah,
probably
I mean, if you
like,
hit it down, it's the same thing, which is you know one of the reasons it doesn't count as an interception because
more fun that he caught it.
Yeah, I mean they got to raise their hands, and you know you also wonder if this is able to build any momentum as far mm-hmm. as creating those turnovers, take a little bit of the pressure off. But about that earlier one, he just said he thought he had to, it was right there on his shoulder that pass. He said, I'm thinking I had to find the ball when it was right on my shoulder. And when he moved his hand, it just dropped right there. And he sort of demonstrated for us, you know, how it was against his shoulder. He said, you just have to expect the ball because at the end of the day, they ain't throwing it to me. They're trying to throw it to him. So he said, you got to expect the ball and come up with the turnovers, especially – He called them gifted turnovers. He said that was a gift right there that you know, Iowa State handed him up on a platter pretty much, and he wasn't able to come up with it. So OU has to find a way to finish those, though, because they've had quite a few chances and haven't been able to complete those. This is, as far as I can tell, it's the longest streak in OU history without a forced turnover.
Yep. Wow, they ain't throwing to me. Great, great quote. I've always enjoyed talking to Parnell Motley. He'll say some good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought Parnell had some interesting things to say. Of course, Alex Grinch, you know, had some interesting things to say too. Talking about, hey, they've got to start doing these things. It can't just be talk. They've got to go out and do them because if they don't, then this is who they are versus who they were the first seven games when all of us thought they were vastly improved. Now, you know, I think one of the interesting questions that I have, and I started talking to them about this yesterday, and it's something I'm looking to address later in the week, is does this focus on turnovers, and Alex Wrench has been so focused on turnovers, does that come at the cost of tackling? Because, you know, Kansas State, the tackling wasn't awful. They missed a couple, but it wasn't just horrific. Last week it was, you know, pretty well awful. And they've got to figure out a way to fix that. And you wonder if this focus, hyper-focus on creating turnovers has led to being so focused on that that you don't think about the fundamentals of tackling.
Yeah, and it's a question that's been asked a few times, well, multiple times. I know Barry talked about it last week on the podcast. My dad has asked me about it. But, yeah, I think especially because turnovers are such a kind of more of an uncontrollable statistic, that I would think that tackling would be where they should try to place their focus now, given that this bet on turnovers hasn't really worked out for them. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, like you were saying in the beginning there, what happens this week, because if the defense doesn't turn around for a whole consistent game this week, then yeah, kind of are they the team that everyone said they were the first seven games of the season, or is this truly who they are, and maybe they just played some easier opponents to start?
Yeah, and we'll start figuring that out, I think, in a big way on Saturday. But we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back on the other side of the break to talk about a great story that Abby wrote for Tuesday's Oklahoman. I'm your host, Ryan Aber, alongside Abby Bitterman from the Oklahoman, and this is the Sooners Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. Welcome back to the Sooners Extra Podcast brought to you by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here once again with Abby Bitterman. And Abby, really wanted to talk to you about your Tuesday story, which sort of centers around something that we saw that sort of blew up on social media after Saturday night's game. And it had been, you know, viral on social media for a couple weeks, I guess, before, but obviously came into much greater focus after Saturday's game. And that's the story of Raiden Overbay, the young man from UConn who had been bullied. Just a horrific video. It's to me, it's hard to comprehend how people can treat other people that mm-hmm. way, as we saw in the video. And if you haven't seen it, I don't know if I can recommend going to watch it, because it's devastating.
It's really hard
in a lot of ways to see somebody treat somebody like that. But so much good has come out of that. I think the way that people, you know, really high profile people, is it Justin Wren?
Yes.
The MMA fighter especially mm-hmm. has been really at the center of this Stand With Raiden campaign, and befriended the kid and done some really cool things for him. But just not only just Raiden Overbay, but the problem of bullying in general, you know, the focus that he's brought on it, the focus that this incident has brought on it, has just been phenomenal, and that extended to Saturday night's game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that Jalen Hurts really said it best when we asked him about that experience on Saturday, when he just said, bullying sucks. It's not right. I think everybody has been bullied at some point. And then he added that Raiden has a friend in him. And, you know, I think that that's from talking to Raiden and his dad, Danny, and Jenny talked to Justin Wren. And, you know, bullying affects a larger amount. Like, I feel like sometimes people think that, you know, we had all these anti-bullying campaigns and so we just fixed the problem of bullying and nobody gets bullied anymore. But it's very much still a thing that continues to happen today all over. And So it's, I think it's really nice that Oklahoma did this, because, and they didn't, yes, they like tweeted it out afterwards, but they didn't publicize that he was coming or anything like this. They just,
yeah, it was very,
they just kind of
like,
wanted to have.
I don't think I knew that he was coming until I saw, I think, Justin Wren's tweet.
Yeah.
That, hey, I got to the game with my buddy,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, they just wanted, you know, to like have it be a nice thing for him, because OU, so the fam, Raiden and his family, they're from UConn.
I was just going to say, you know, we got to give a shout out here to Clark Stroud.
Yes. Yes.
OU's director of football ops that was instrumental in making, mm-hmm, this come together and get this kid. Because my understanding is that, you know, he really had to work to try to reach out to the Overbays and to Justin Wren and to make this happen. It wasn't like, you know, he had a contact information for the guy or had an email address for the guy. Just had to work to
get that out. He sent him a letter, is what Danny told me.
Okay.
He said that he went to his mailbox.
Like an actual handwritten letter.
I guess.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
When he was telling me the story, in my mind at first, I was like, a letter? Like, a physical? Like, I mean, that's really cool, though. The Sooners are Raiden and his family's favorite team, and Clark Stroud, obviously saw this kid's story, found out about how much he loves Oklahoma, and invited him and his family to the game. And it was... Danny told me that it was Raiden's first time on campus ever, first time seeing the Sooners play in person. And he showed me a video of him watching CeeDee Lamb score that first touchdown.
He said CeeDee Lamb was his favorite receiver.
Yeah, and he was just so happy and excited, and like the smile on his face was from ear to ear. And so it was awesome to get to see that and to get to sit down and talk with them. You know, Raiden has had to go through a lot. The bullying wasn't just those two videos. It's something that's been going on since he was 8, and he's about to turn 13 in a few weeks. And, you know, so it's just to see the love and support that not just Sooner fans and the team themselves, but people around the world have given this family and Raiden has been really cool to get to learn about the past few days. And I think especially powerful was Lincoln Riley's post-game speech where he incorporated Raiden. You know, when Danny was talking about it, he said that it was like he took off his coaching hat for a minute and was just being a human. And I thought that was a perfect way to describe it, because I'd seen the video already. And
yeah, and if you haven't seen the video, please go and watch it.
Yes, but he literally takes off his visor and is talking about how, you know, we get caught up in this stuff a lot, the wins and losses, but there's something big. But he said there's something bigger about what we can do here, just as human beings. And then he talked about, you know, Raiden and his story and how he loved and told his players that he loves watching them play. But then he turned it around and said that Raiden gives them inspiration too. And it was just, it's a very powerful video and a really cool moment for Raiden and his family after having gone through so much bad for so long. It's and especially with a lot of help from Justin Wren and a lot of other people, they've been able to take, you know, this incredible negative in Raiden's life and their whole family's life, really, and turn it into a great positive and some incredible experiences for all of them.
Tell us a little bit about how Raiden's doing. And you got to spend some time around him on Monday night. You know, how is he doing after, obviously, what was a really traumatic experience of that video? But and not just talking about, obviously, the love and outpouring of support that he's gotten, but, you know, physically and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, so, and I mentioned this in the story, too, that, you know, about a year ago, Raiden had wrote on his arm that he wanted to kill himself. And, you know, his dad talked to me about that and how that was really hard for him to learn. But that, you know, you can't help feeling how you feel, but that Raiden is happier now and that he's doing a lot better. He has friends now, and he knows that he has friends. And, you know, after about the game, he just, when I brought that up to him, he was so happy. He said it was amazing. He said that the best part was meeting the players, and his favorite player of all of them is Jalen Hurts. And so that moment when Jalen Hurts signed the game ball that Lincoln Riley gave to Raiden, when Jalen Hurts signed the ball for him, that was like one of the best moments for him, because he just got to meet his favorite player, and now he has a ball with his signature forever.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool the way that Jalen Hurts reacted to him, even talked about him yesterday, Monday, because that's something we haven't seen a whole lot of Jalen Hurts, you know, out there in that kind of way. We saw it, you know, if you were follow Jalen Hurts at Alabama. He was very ingrained in the community there and did some of those things. But to see that and to see the way that Raiden reacted to him and he reacted to Raiden was just incredible.
You could tell on his face that, you know, it wasn't just part of something that OU was doing, but that he truly, like, felt impacted by meeting him.
Yeah, and I also want to mention, if you didn't see Abby's story in the Oklahoman, I'm sure it's also attached to the online version. First of all, please go and read it. It's a fantastic read on Raiden Overbay and his family and Oklahoma and the way they've embraced him. But do want to mention that Uteberg Chevy Buick GMC is matching every donation this month to a GoFundMe set up for Raiden. It's gofundme.com/f/standwithraiden, R-A-Y-D-E-N. You can go to there if you make a donation. Like I said, up to $10,000. Uteberg Chevy Buick GMC is matching that through its Uteberg Helps program. Really cool of them to do, and want to make sure that, you know, if you want to help, you can find a way to do that.
Yeah. Oh, and you asked me before physically how Raiden is doing, and he had some concussion issues as a result of, you know, the bullying, but he's getting better. And actually, after he gets cleared.
Well, let's say that. That's more than bullying.
Yeah.
That's tough, but
No, you're absolutely right.
I mean, it's assault is what it is that we see on that video. But
you're absolutely right.
I hope Raiden's doing a whole lot better.
Yep. But after he, you know, gets cleared, he's gonna another MMA fighter. I believe his name is Rafael Lovato. Yes, Rafael Lovato. He has offered to, train Justin. Justin Wren is the other MMA fighter.
I think Justin's good on the training part.
Yeah, he's good. That was a slip of the tongue. Train Raiden and his younger brother Brock in just some self defense techniques and invite him into their classes. So just another example of people reaching out to help their family.
Yeah, very, very cool. So once again, please check out that story. Read Abby's story on Stand With Raiden, and just a lot of the good that's coming out of what is an awful situation. But we're going to take a break there. We're going to come back on the other side and actually talk a little bit about a little football game Saturday down in Waco, Texas. But
you may have heard of it.
Maybe, just a little bit. But please don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Store and the Google Podcast app. We really appreciate it. And thanks for tuning in each week. This is a Sooners Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. Welcome back to the Sooners Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. I'm your host, Ryan Aber, here with Abby Bitterman in a cold Oklahoman podcast studio.
It's chilly.
On this Tuesday afternoon as we record it. It's a cold day outside the last couple days, but it's supposedly going to be pretty warm on Saturday down in Waco, Texas.
Yep. You'd think all the padding in the studio would make it warmer, but or insulate it, but nope.
No, not so much.
But it's gonna be warm at McLean Stadium, you say?
Warmer.
Warmer.
I haven't checked today, but last I heard it was supposed to be around 60 degrees for the game. So
much warmer than it is in this. It's right now.
If it's that, I will be happy. I was going through my phone to see if I had Waco and one of my locations, which a lot of times I keep Big 12 cities in there. I apparently have taken out Waco in favor of Ames.
Oh, that's nice. I just keep cities that my friends live in.
But Dallas, at least, says the high is going to be 59 on Saturday, so you would anticipate it being right around that, maybe a touch warmer down in Waco. Probably be a little bit chillier by the time kickoff rolls around, but that's all right. That's what we expect in mid-November. But let's talk about this game, Abby. And as of right now, we don't know where these teams are ranked. We'll be back. We'll talk about that, the rankings, a little bit more later in the week, in the second episode of the podcast for the week. But Oklahoma number 9, Baylor number 12, going into last week's action. Both teams won, although both teams had to pull off squeakers. But this Baylor team, I'm not exactly sure what to think of them, because yes, they're 9-0. They have not beaten a ranked opponent yet. They beat Oklahoma State, who wasn't ranked at the time, is now.
After not doing anything, they stayed home and they wound up at number 23.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I mean,
a lot of other stuff happened, but
There wasn't. I'm talking about the college football playoff ranking, CFP ranking.
I'm sorry, I was talking about the AP poll.
That they moved
my
in.
Bad.
Well, yeah, it's the time of year where we. As much as I love the AP poll, we start disregarding it, except for Sundays and Mondays and most of Tuesdays. But,
but 4 days a week.
If you're listening to this before the announcement on Tuesday, then the AP poll still matters. If you're listening to it after the announcement on Tuesday, check your CFP poll to see where they're ranked.
Which probably will be listening to this after this, because this is going to come out like...
Hopefully it'll come out right before. We're hoping. See how quickly we can get it up. But anyway, the point is, Baylor's schedule hasn't been extremely tough. You know, they beat Iowa State by 2. Iowa State's a pretty good team. They beat Kansas State by 19. Oklahoma State by 18. They've got some fairly quality wins, but they've got a lot of close ones too. They beat Rice by 8 on the road. Like I said, Iowa State by 2, Texas Tech by 3, West Virginia by 3, and then TCU by 6, and that was an overtime game. So Baylor's just been sort of living right recently.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, with how close OU has lost one and then came – within 2 points of losing another one on this past Saturday, with how close these two teams have been playing their opponents lately, and how down to the wire it's been coming, we're in for an interesting one, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I would anticipate this game being close. I think Baylor's offense has been a little bit dormant over the last couple of games. They scored two regulation touchdowns against West Virginia a couple weeks ago in a 17-14 win. On Saturday against TCU, they didn't score any touchdowns in regulation, and then finally sort of took the lid off in overtime as they score the 3 touchdowns, 2 by Denzel Mims in the second and third overtime. So Baylor's offense has been really good at times. They scored 63 early in the season against UTSA. They scored 45 against Oklahoma State. But they've also disappeared at times, which makes you wonder about Oklahoma's defense. Are they able to, put the lid back on? Or is it one of those things where Baylor breaks out because they're facing an Oklahoma defense that struggled quite a bit, especially with tackling last week.
Yeah, I mean, I still can't get over the fact that the Baylor's undefeated. I mean, 2 years ago they had one win, right? And but also 2 years ago,
Baylor's first season, they were 1-11 under Matt Rule, and they still gave OU a heck of a game. It was 49-41 that last Oklahoma visit down to McLean Stadium, which was crazy. If you remember, that was the game where Abdul Adams had the 99-yard run. They also had a big day, I believe, from Trey Sermon. Yeah, Trey Sermon, 148 yards, two touchdowns in that game. Of course, Trey Sermon out for the season with an injury. We found out yesterday Abdul Adams had 164 yards and a touchdown. Of course, Abdul Adams now playing for Syracuse. So there's not a whole lot of players from that team that are still making an impact on this one. CeeDee Lamb was one of them who had 68 yards receiving in that game. Let's see, look at the defense. Kenneth Murray still around, Marquez Overton, and Parnell Motley played a little bit of a role in that game. Neville Gallimore had a little bit. But Trey Brown actually had a tackle in that game, but yeah, even when Baylor has been down, they've still been able to put up a whole lot of points on OU, and obviously now they're not down at all.
I wonder what it says about us that you remember that game as the game that Abdul Adams had a big rushing day, and I remember it as the game that Baker Mayfield said, "Who's your daddy?" when trash-talking Baylor beforehand, and it got caught on video.
Let me say this. This is why I remember the Abdul Adams aspect to that. I wrote a story all about Abdul Adams' 99-yard run. Like, I wrote a complete story on one run. It was the longest run in OU history, obviously, because you can't do a run longer than 99 yards. So I broke down, like, every piece of that run and how it came together. And I think I watched that play, like, 72 times.
Well, then, I think that'd be why you remember it.
Because I had to watch it for every player that was on the field, what they did, and how each of those pieces put together for the longest run in OU history. So it was interesting, but I mean, and Baker Mayfield's antics sort of.
Yeah, had to blog Baker Mayfield's antics when he was still playing, and I was at the Daily. So I remember every game from 2017 by what Baker Mayfield did. Off, like, outside of the
on the field stuff.
Yeah, I don't even want to call it off the field, because, like, far off the field, he's had worse antics, but kind of outside the bounds of the field.
Yeah, we saw in Kansas with the grab her and round the world.
Yeah,
that we saw
the best part of that, and what I'll remember forever is when Eric Bailey from the Tulsa World asked if crotch grab was AP style, and somebody yelled back, "Clear crotch grab, can't call it anything else."
I believe that someone was Jenny Carlson, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right, actually.
So we'll see. Hopefully nothing like that happens on Saturday. We're just talking about football.
What if Jalen Hurts?
I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to do anything like that, Abby. I'll just say that
It would be now, so out of character, but, like, that would just make it even more insane, you know?
I will say this. You know, it's interesting because Baylor, Oklahoma, and Abby, you weren't around for a lot of this, but it had become sort of the Big 12's budding rivalry for a few years when Art Briles was there. Mm-hmm. As Baylor got so much better, you know, these teams met as ranked opponents four consecutive times from 2013 to 2016. They five out of six times. They have never met as top 10 opponents, so that could be interesting, because in 2014, when 2013, 14, and 15, Baylor was top 10 in each of those meetings. OU wasn't top 10. And they were just outside at number 12. So we'll see what the rankings look like Tuesday night to see if this is the first ever top 10 meeting between the schools. But what I was saying is this had sort of turned into a really good rivalry in this league. A lot of hate on the OU side especially. I'm not going to speak for the Baylor side, but I know on OU there was some thought about the way Baylor had gone about things, which, turns out that was sort of valid.
Yep.
Now, I think things under Matt Rhule are a whole lot different. I think it's a whole lot easier to get behind Matt Rhule and what he's doing down there in Waco than it was Art Briles for a lot of reasons. But, it'll be interesting to see if this turns into a rivalry again. And if this becomes one of those games that you circle every year in the Big 12.
Yeah. And, even if it doesn't end up being a meeting, the first time the two teams have met as top 10 teams, it'll still be a bigger game because whenever I think of it, since Saturday I've had the lyrics to Big and Rich is Coming to Your City stuck in my head because College Game Day is going to be there.
City. You got to pronounce it with the A-Y sound.
I'm sorry. I love a good game day sign. I'm excited to see what people come up with. I love the memes. Give me all the sign memes.
All right. Well, we'll see some good ones down there on Saturday, I'm sure. But we're going to be back before then with another episode of the Sooners Extra Podcast. We're going to wrap it up there. But thank you so much for joining us on the Sooners Extra Podcast from the Oklahoman. You can drop us a line. You can reach out to me on email, raber@oklahoman.com. That's raber@oklahoman.com. And on Twitter, @ryaber. Abby?
@Abby_Bitterman on Twitter. And as always, abitterman@oklahoman.com.
So thank you so much. The Sooners Extra Podcast is presented each week by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxby's.com/podcast. You can check out our work every day at oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.